Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. How you doing, Christine?
Hi, Julie.
How's life treating you?
Fair to middling. How's life treating you?
Good. I mean, it's a beautiful, cold Sunday night. And
frigid, honey.
If you don't know us, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter. And we're coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm doing my master's. And what we like to do on a Sunday night is just have fun. We take the nuggets, the tips, the tricks out of the week. We share them with you, we hope, in a humorous way, because sometimes life can get really serious. So on a Sunday night, if you want to put your feet up, have a nice hot cup of coffee, turn off that zombie replay of The Walking Dead. It's only a repeat right now anyway.
Well, I'm just amazed that everybody, you never thought that you'd see like commercials for you to binge watch. Like,
right.
I think it's TBS or whatever. It's like, hey, we got 5 original series you can binge watch. People of Earth, Search Party.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, they're just suggesting that we
spend all day watching TV. And so you can do that, but get up and work out, move around, clean the house, do whatever.
Yeah, put us in your ears.
Put us in your ears and join the family.
Yeah, a wrap. Why don't you wrap Christmas presents?
Exactly. You can do that.
While you're listening to
us. And I think we're going to do a little. The show's going to be really. I got some cool things I need to talk to you about, Christine.
Really?
Yeah. I need to dump a lot of stuff on you today.
Is it a holiday dump?
Yeah, we're going to do a movie review. You saw Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne, I did.
And then I did see Search Party through a course of like a month, all the episodes, and I'll give my review.
I can't wait because you led me down an interesting path. You were telling me about Search Party.
Yes.
And I got the impression, well, I got a totally different impression from when I saw, then I saw the commercial for binge watching it.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious comedy. And I'm like,
it was
this
either
is not
hilarious or comedy.
The show that Julie described.
No. And so I'll talk about that during our thing. We got lots of animal stories to go through today.
Do we?
And then during Pillar Talk, I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about, I really believe in when you hear things in threes, it's kind of important, for whatever you're
and also maybe it goes, deeper
into you and your subconscious mind, like, hey, I need to, spirit has led me down this path to hear this 3 times. Mm-hmm. And one is about a ladder, the concept of going after something or climbing the ladder only to find that it's, not the ladder you wanted to go up to.
The wrong ladder.
This idea, instead of having resolutions, having fear.
Fun illusions.
Fun illusions. Yes. I like that. Yes. Fun illusions, as well as fearless. To kind of figure these resolutions out. Mm-hmm. But I love the fun illusions. Fun illusions. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Mm-hmm. But, and you guys go to our website, ChristineMarieAngelia.com, for our blog. And we're just here to have a good time. So talk to me first. We're going to talk about the week. And What a wild week it's been, I'm telling you right now.
No, don't tell me, Julie.
Well, here's what, we're going to bring Normano in right away. If you know our podcast, we bring in Normano because he has a way of getting himself into situations. And we then break him down and going, well, is this, how can we make
Normano is your father, my husband.
Yes.
But sometimes he's the moral weather vane in the family.
Right. And so he had a moral dilemma come up.
Yes.
That I think in the back of his mind, he was hearing loud and clear the good old adage, no good deed goes unpunished. Mm-hmm. And he could have done a really good deed this week.
And you know what? It really, he was
struggling.
Struggling with me because I did something wrong this week. I did something wrong. And I went, oh my God. My first thought was that, he ate a whole cheesecake.
Right.
That was my first thought.
Right.
Like, what did you do? Or, I bought a dozen donuts at Casey's.
Yes.
And by noon, they were all gone.
I went on a sugar bin, no tomorrow.
That really was my first thought.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, well, sit down and tell me what happened.
Yes. And so what happened was he was at a truck stop. And it was kind of cold out.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah, in Wisconsin.
Oconomowoc.
And another trucker says, I got a flat and I need some air. Do you know where I can get some air? And Dad said no.
Because the truck stop did not have air.
The truck stop did not have
which
air.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, which is crazy. Truck stop did not have air for a semi. Mm-hmm. Now, Dad did know where he could get air. He could have given him air himself because he had bought one of these tools that you hook up to his own air hose.
Yeah.
And then the truck generates air to fill the tire. Mm-hmm. However, this literally would have taken an hour. And by doing this, it would have also...
Well, he was on a
huge deadline. If he didn't meet his goal,
he would have lost
his place in line. Right. Would have cost him 4 hours,
right,
possibly.
Right.
And it would have maybe cost him a couple $100. He wouldn't have gotten another load. Mm-hmm. All this stuff. And so he just said no.
No.
And then his conscience got the better of him. And it just...
Well, it didn't get the better of him.
No,
because he still said no.
His guilt got the better of him.
Yeah,
he did.
And all day long.
All day long.
It was just like, why did you do that?
Yes.
You could have gave him the air.
Exactly.
You said no.
Exactly. Now, it's funny, because I try and do good things, and I go out of my way sometimes to help people.
Yes, you do.
And honestly, I would say a higher percentage of time,
Blowback.
Yes. And I don't know why blowback is there.
Like President Barack Obama said, there is always consequences.
There's always consequences to every action.
Yeah.
I mean, we were hearing.
I imagine Barack Obama wasn't the only person that ever said that. I'm sure many a mom and dad have said that.
Exactly.
And to their brand new grandbaby.
Well, and there's consequences everywhere. I mean, even things that are good that happen, there are consequences. We were listening to this one podcast, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. James Burke was mentioning, talking about nanotechnology, but he was also referring to how society changes.
Right. That was a great podcast,
by the way. Oh, it was a great podcast. Dan Carlin.
Yeah.
Common Sense.
Yes.
Had him on, and James Burke, and he was talking about nanotechnology, but it will change society so fast.
Right.
And he said there will be blowback. There will be, even though this will be a great thing, it will solve a lot of problems, it will have a natural, it'll cause other problems as well.
For example,
who would have thought that when women had the ability to get out of the house and go to work and, you know, go to school and achieve what you want to achieve, have, you know, the number one consequence really is divorce rate goes up.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. you know.
That was a consequence.
That's a consequence. And it was a natural consequence.
Yeah.
Another natural consequence, you know, this week, President-elect Donald Trump mentioned that, or maybe it was last week, mentioned that if you burn a flag, you know, I think people who burn flags should go to, you know, lose their citizenship or, you know, get kicked out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, yeah, I think that's a good idea, too. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, forget about freedom to protest, freedom of speech, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, there is already a natural consequence to you burning a flag. You know, and that usually means, hey, you're a douchebag.
Right.
And I like to have people do douchebaggy things.
Mm-hmm.
On their own, then I can, like, oh, my brain goes, oh, I can put you in the category of, douchebaggy thing, you know. Great, I know mm-hmm. who you are now, and that's, mm-hmm. you know. But if no one can do any of this stuff
right.
because it's against the law,
right.
or lose my citizenship,
right.
how is my brain going to, you know, weed people out? You know, I need them to be able to do more things so I can, you know. You have to rise to the occasion.
Right. You don't. It's not like they have an L on their forehead. Now they have a D.
Now they have a D. Yeah.
Douche.
You're a douchebag. Okay. You know, or he's like saying, you know, I don't know his whole story. Maybe it was really a political statement because he was wrongfully accused and was in prison for 20 years. And then he's like, got out and didn't get a big settlement. And he like feels like burning the flag. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what, dude? You have the right to burn the flag because America has done you wrong, you know? But so there's more than just one reason, you know, but there are natural consequences.
It's blowback.
Blowback. I remember they were talking to people about what President-elect Trump was talking about burning, you know, they should be shipped out or mm-hmm. go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, yes, I agree with that. And this one guy goes, well, I think he should just get a ticket for causing a fire. And I'm like, dude, you're on my list of common sense thinker. Yeah. I like you.
He can go to jail overnight.
Yeah.
Because he's an arsonist.
Yeah, he's an arsonist. Dude, can't start a fire in public. This is wrong. You know, that could get out of control. We know what fires look like out of control.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good, people.
You know, speaking of fires, this is probably a little bit off the topic, but I was watching, you know, the Cooking Channel.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
And Patti LaBelle has her own cooking show.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting. Now she's got like her sweet potato pies in Walmart.
Yeah, she has also like cherry crisps or cherry cobblers and peach cobblers. Yeah,
I just find that, you know, so interesting that these celebrities just decide they want to, you know, be cooks. And like Tiffany Amber Thiessen or whatever, she's got actually her show is kind of actually good because she brings other celebrities in. But anyway, so Patti LaBelle is in her, I think, in her house or whatever, and she's cooking up something.
Right.
And she's dressed for, like, performing, and she's got this big bat wing sleeve top on that's, like, got big angel wings. You know?
Real loose cuffs.
Yeah, and it's like the material's very, very flimsy. And she's cooking over this, you know, 6 gas burner thing.
Right.
And all I remember, I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my God, she's going to, you know, when I was a little kid, our next door neighbor, her grandmother lived with her, and her grandmother was cooking breakfast for them in her peignoir, you know, one morning and caught on fire because she was literally doing the same thing.
Did
that
she die?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. That Patti LaBelle was doing.
Yeah.
And was, you know, cooking with these big long sleeves over gas. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm telling you this story.
Yeah.
And Norm's overhearing this.
Right.
And I'm explaining. I go, oh my God, she's going to catch fire if this is.
Right.
And then Norm, like, really dead, sober, serious, said, somebody ought to call a fire marshal.
Yeah.
No, he didn't say that. He said, the fire marshal ought to call her. Yeah.
And you and I didn't say a word and then looked at each other about 10 seconds later and then we just both started laughing.
We just like, okay. I just pictured the phone call. Miss LaBelle.
Hello, Miss LaBelle.
Miss LaBelle, this is the fire marshal here. And I just need to tell you for your own sake that I saw what you were wearing that day and you're lucky. Do you remember they had the Fly Girls and Jim Carrey was like one of the early
TV.
Yeah, was it Mad TV?
No, In Living Color.
In Living Color, right. That's it. I couldn't think of it. And he played a fire marshal that was all burnt, and he was like, that's what I was thinking of when Norm goes, and the fire marshal.
I'm the fire marshal. Only Jim Carrey can use his mouth, so you know he just accentuates every word really big. And it was so funny because I thought to myself, Dad, really think the fire marshal really is going to call?
Yeah,
but in my mind, I'm sure everybody's thinking the same thing.
You're like, I think there's so. It was so obvious.
Yeah, and then I go, well, is this, you know, did she do this intentionally then? Because I
know
think
you think
everything
is a way to get on, go viral.
I do.
You do, Julie.
And it makes me crazy because
it makes me crazy because I feel like my little girl that was so sweet and innocent, now it's like, oh, they're just doing it to get on social media.
I am so cynical that everything to me is designed to look like a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel there's no reality.
No.
There is a reality that somebody wants me to know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it was ever true. I mean, what the government tells me is what the government wants me to know.
Yeah.
Reporters hopefully will find out more information. And
they're got biased, too.
And all you can hope for, I mean, President-elect Trump can literally tweet something that I know to be false. And I'm like,
stocks will rise, stocks will go down.
Yeah, I'm like, well, okay, dude, I don't know what you're doing, but this is a new reality.
Yeah.
And
well, that James Burke, who we're just talking about with the Dan Carlin show, he said that everything is Disney-fied.
Yes.
That everything has a tendency to be like a show produced, you know, look like it. And there was, and so Burke said that, yes, everything is now made to look like it's transparent.
Right.
And he said, but there is an apparent transparency.
Yeah.
But below that,
yeah,
there is still probably what we want to call the truth.
The truth.
Because now it was just like, oh, well, everything's transparent.
Right.
So there's this apparent transparency that we've got to buy into now because it's reality, you know.
And maybe by buying into the reality that's handed to us, society moves along. And yes, we move over these situations that come up that if we got too deep into, mm-hmm, could cause a crack in our trust, crack in the systems that we, mm-hmm, have, mm-hmm, or what's the word now everybody keeps using as our, for our government agencies. You know, we have all these agencies, you, mm-hmm, know, and some of them are outdated, mm-hmm, and how, you know, and but they work, they've worked well, we keep tweaking them because they have to keep up, mm-hmm, you know. I mean, being in technology but out of technology, it's probably a painful place to be because, mm-hmm, what you realize is that I don't even know what the heck's going on.
No.
What is on? Mm-hmm. I mean, my iPhone's a 7, I think. No, it's not a 7. That's a new one. Oh, I have a 5. Mm-hmm. So my iPhone is always 2 years behind everybody else's iPhone because I ain't paying for my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I want it free when I sign my contract for 2 more years. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
I got me the jitterbug.
Yeah, I got jitterbug. You know.
Jitterbug.
But, so, when I get down these rabbit holes of reality, mm-hmm, I feel nothing but I get to a point where I'm going, who gives a shit? I'm going to die.
Because you can't.
In 50
years
anyway.
You can't. Well, I know you always say that, but I mean, because you can't. We're not, like Burke was saying, in the old days, there were like five people that were quote unquote literate,
right,
or had been somewhat schooled, and the rest of the masses were like not too bright.
Right.
You know, and so, but they still lived a good life and, you know, hopefully. And so we just have to go on and live our life.
Right.
And not worry about the rabbit holes unless you can.
Well, yeah. And then when you go,
well,
it's so funny because then you hear people living off the grid, you know, and are building off the grid. And I've seen stories on, I guess these are mostly like National Geographic, not the ones on HGTV or Discover Channel. Mm-hmm. And like this one couple, they had 2 kids and they lived in Alaska in a ute.
Yurt.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yurt. A ute. A youth.
An SUV. Yurt. Ute.
Ute. and
2 utes.
They both worked in computers. So they worked from home. but they called themselves off the grid. They, mm-hmm, they had a little farm and, you, mm-hmm, know, they, so forth. And, they did, but they had their own, they had a satellite to pick up their internet connection. Mm-hmm. They had
their own satellite.
Well, no, they had a,
oh, you know,
about
time on. Oh, okay.
To pick up a satellite.
I just thought they,
like, whoa, that's
oh my
awesome.
God, being a satellite, yes, going up there,
and so that was you know, interesting. But here they are, quote unquote, off grid, but totally connected. You know, they have solar power. You know,
I mean, that is like, you know, an oxymoron,
right?
Maybe,
and I guess
that,
if
but,
everything,
yeah,
went to hell in a handbasket,
yeah,
they would be okay.
Yeah.
You know, they could live off the land still. Nothing would happen. They just wouldn't be connected anymore.
But that is wild, Jill, to be totally off the grid and yet totally connected.
Yeah. And I remember this one, I don't remember the TV show, but it was pretty fascinating to me. This other family they were interviewing or living, it was some island off the coast of New Zealand, and he happened to just live alone for many years on this island, this man.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of scientists came to visit. He was a scientist himself and then just kind of checked out, you know, and another group of scientists came and met a female scientist, mm-hmm, who was a geologist, I think, and they fell in love and lived on the island together, and then they, mm-hmm, had 2 kids, and basically didn't want for anything until he started having kids, and then he had this huge need to give his kids more than what he had, and what he started to do is make jewelry from the shells that would come up on the banks, you know,
of the beach, you mean?
Of where he was at. Uh-huh. He was in some island or some coast or, mm-hmm, whatever. But it was fascinating to me. And he made enough money to send his kids to private school that was boarding school, because he just goes, I have to give my kids a great education, even though I've chosen to totally check,
mm-hmm,
out.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife totally did. And they were, they were two peas in a pod. They didn't say much, but they were like at peace. You knew they just wanted to check out. But they wanted to give their kids the best education. And the only way they could do that would be, well,
ship them off to boarding school.
Yeah, and I ain't going, which I thought was very interesting because some people who live that way would want to homeschool their kids.
That's what I would have thought. Yeah. I mean, two scientists?
Yeah.
Certainly wouldn't
but
have
maybe
the knowledge.
Because they are scientists, they're going, oh my gosh, we only know what we know.
Yeah.
And to get better, you got to know what other people know as well.
For
there
sure.
is a collaborative response to it all. And so
I'm sorry to keep bringing up this James Burke
on
the podcast.
Talk about that.
But he talks about, he said, you know, because Daniel?
Dan Carlin. Dan,
he asked him at the end, what would you do? You know, because you're so, you know, brilliant. What would you do? And he goes, our people need to be more educated.
Yes.
We are not educating our
we
children
We need
enough.
To focus really only on education.
On education. That is our savior.
I think even from young to until the day you die.
Yeah.
Educating, grow, educating, build your mind. And when you realize that the brain is built not for to degrade. There is no real evidence that your brain should degrade as you get older.
No, you should keep building the little
neurons. And so even though you may look at yourself in the mirror or look through your eyes not and see, I feel young, I feel youthful, I feel like I have new goals and dreams, and you look at the mirror going, holy cow, I got some more wrinkles today, I'm feeling a little older. How are those young whippersnappers seeing me, you know?
How are they seeing you?
You know, hey, like by this time you should be retired and not working. And it's like, wait till you get to my age. Yeah. You'll realize that doesn't sound very fun.
Well, in the 70s, Dylan, if you can't lend a hand, you know, get out of the way for the times they are changing. You know?
Well, that goes back to lending a hand with Dad. And we talked about no good deed goes unpunished. And you know, he struggled with that concept.
Yes.
That like, oh my God, the consequences of me helping this guy are too severe. And I was telling him, I said, Dad, listen, you were at a gas station, a place where got diesel. You knew he'd be safe. If by chance it was at the side of the road and you were, you know, somehow I came behind you saying, I'm desperate, you would have helped the guy. But here, he was safe. He wasn't, you know, he could call someone to come out, help him out. It may have cost him $100, but, you know, there would have been a solution to his problem. Also, if his truck said, you know, organ donor, organs in trailer, need to get to the hospital in 20 minutes, he might have helped the dude as well. But, plugging in all these checklists.
Situational morality.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
I think situational morality does count because there are times when there really isn't a moral decision.
Right.
You know, me helping you just may make your situation slightly better, but it's going to really cause my situation to go to hell fast.
Right.
Well, that's not a win-win.
No.
There's a phrase, I think it's called net zero gain.
Right, right.
And heard that phrase in Arrival, that movie Arrival. Loved it. I love that movie. You know, I'm all for sacrifice. Sometimes I don't mind sacrificing for the good of somebody else, but sometimes there shouldn't be though. You know, I shouldn't have to give up.
I think what also Norm, he hated the fact that he lied to the guy.
Right.
When he said no, I don't have a hose or I know, because the guy didn't ask him if he had a hose. He said, you know where there's a there's a air.
Well, machine. And the truth is, the answer was he answered truthfully. No, I don't. You didn't ask me if I had. Do I know where there's a? I can get played. But you know what? It's sort of like this. Do I look fat in these jeans? No, you don't. Now, would it be nicer if Dad would have said, oh, dude, I have the answer to your problem in my truck, but I'm in such a big hurry. Screw you. You know, come on. What's the better way to get a situation?
Do I look fat in these jeans? Not if you want to get laid tonight.
Exactly. I want to get laid. So, honey, you look great in those jeans. I like those low riders on you. That muffin top is sexy.
That muffin top makes me hungry.
I want to put some butter on that muffin top. I'm not sure what the butter is referring to.
Not either.
In this scenario.
But yes. I kind of want to go blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, with your fingers in your ears. Right. Because, right? Well, you didn't do that. You just went blah, 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 blah. It was kind of a little gross. Yeah. I can get it. But and I was thinking today, you know, I did help a guy when I was, you know, when I was helping Dad out and going to Michigan in the truck. And uh-huh. A bus came to me full of Japanese tourists.
A tour bus?
A tour bus.
And I was Japanese?
Yes. And it's middle of night. I mean, literally, it's 3 a.m.
Okay.
And
where are you at? At the truck stop?
I'm at the truck stop getting fuel mm-hmm. in Indiana, heading to Michigan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my goal is, I have a slight window of opportunity here. It might have been midnight. I don't know. Is that I don't want to go through Chicago during rush hour. Mm-hmm. So either got to go before
4 o'clock in the morning,
after
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, or like not, or like I have either go between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. or after 7 p.m. I mean, there's just these windows of opportunity.
Window, yeah.
And so this truck stop I knew had all of their, they go, we need air. And he comes up to me and goes, oh.
The driver?
The driver. And the he's Japanese as well.
Okay.
And I'm like, I go, hi. He goes, hi. Goes, and he points to his tire and it's low. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I go, you're like, where do I go? And, you know, trying to mimic it. And I go, oh, there. He goes, no, broken. I'm like, and he goes, you help me? And he goes, he must have fucking known I could have done it for him. I'm like, and I, excuse my French. And I go, okay. And I had never done it before. Mm-hmm. So I'm calling Dad in the middle of the night saying, now, which hose do I hook this? Because so what typically a lot of trucks have, because it generates air to brake. You know, mm-hmm. somebody's use air for everything, transmission, I mean, just for everything, mm-hmm. for braking. And so anyway, I'm brake. So a lot of times semis will have an extra hose mm-hmm. that at the end of it will have a nozzle to put air in the tire. Mm-hmm. And I did have one. And
you did have one that day.
I did have one that day. So I got it out for them.
And so you could, were all the Japanese people
yeah,
coming out of the bus?
Except that I'm a professional driver, except that I haven't had, you know, you get more professional by doing weird stuff. And I had never done this before. Mm-hmm. I had never had to hook up this particular hose. Mm-hmm. I had never in like 3 years had to unhook my trailer because mm-hmm. you had to unhook the trailer to get to the air and all that
stuff.
Oh
my gosh.
And I'm like, this is going to be a hassle. And it took me an hour.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I bet it cost me 3 hours easily for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because my timing was off everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they gave me $20, which I thought was sweet. And all I kept thinking to myself is, these are all little Japanese people. I mean, I'm like 5'9", you know, and I'm here, I'm in like layers upon layers upon layers of clothing. And all I can think of is, oh, these are probably taking pictures of me right now.
They're taking
pictures
of you.
On top of my semi, trying to get him air. I was like, oh, and I'm glad I did it. It's a great story, but it did cost me.
Yeah.
I remember Gregory was telling me, my brother Greg was telling me about the time he was in came back from Florida just recently, and he noticed that the family next to him in the plane was separated by, you know, just because of the seating. Mm-hmm. So but they didn't speak any English, and he offered to give him their seat because he was separated from his family anyway, so it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it ended up that this caused, because he didn't speak English very well, he couldn't convey what he wanted. Mm-hmm. They didn't do exactly what he asked. And they ended up sitting in a seat that wasn't their seat. And it ended up being a huge cluster mm-hmm. that the flight attendant came by and said, what's going on here? Get in your seats now. We're not taking off. And Greg's like, "What? Okay. I don't want to get kicked off this plane," because mm-hmm. it just ended up being an elevated cluster and no one could figure it out what was going on.
And all he was trying to do is help.
All he was trying to do is help. And so another incident where, oh my gosh, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what can of worms. And yet you go, okay, if it's a deed that I can really help, of course you're going to do it. You mm-hmm. know, I remember that one time where this bank, I was totally misunderstood at a banking situation, but I was there because I was helping. I was buying a truck, you know, a box truck to put cabinets in, probably about 15 years ago.
You weren't buying it.
Well, you were buying it. I was doing the transaction.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, no, we were selling it.
Oh, we were selling it. Yeah. That's right. We were selling
yeah,
the truck
yeah.
to this furniture company.
Yeah.
It was, you know, just a single guy
right.
who owned a small furniture store in mm-hmm. a small town. in a small town.
In a small town, girl.
Yep.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Exactly.
Two American kids growing up.
Best they can.
Doing the best they can in the heartland.
He gave me a personal check and he goes, why don't I just go to the bank real quick and cash it? And I said, well, I can do that for you. You're working, I'm here. I'll just go to the bank. And literally, I was in the bank for over an hour. And I was starting to get really freaking out because there's two tellers, there's two people. And I finally get up to the thing and she goes, I need your driver's license. And my license, and you were there waiting for me. So I'm getting the phone calls like, what's going on? And my license flew out of my hand and like landed like aggressively. And I started laughing because I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she refused to wait on me. And I thought, oh, you know what? No good deed goes unpunished. Learn this well, Julie.
So not only were you in there an hour to wait, now she's not waiting on you.
Yes.
You had to go to the other teller.
So now I come across as a jerk.
Yeah.
And I just like, oh, this is so funny.
Yeah.
And I take away nothing from this because we will all still do good deeds. We will just try to evaluate it.
Yeah.
And you've always said, though, when you go out of your norm.
I have always said that.
That's when shit happens.
Exactly.
When you go out of your norm.
Yeah. That's why I always say, like, you love to let people in and traffic. And I'm like, that's the best time they're going to have an accident because, you know, most people don't think that they're going to somebody's going to let them in.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I just totally have that. That's totally mine.
Exactly.
I own that one.
So, girlfriend, are you ready for a... So, the more... Our decision, our thing is, you know what? Still do good deeds. About 10% of them are going to turn out like crap. will be more hassles for you than you ever thought possible.
Yeah.
But you'll still have helped somebody out.
And yeah.
It's all worth it in the
and
end.
Maybe there is a karma train.
Yeah, and you know what?
And also, if you're cooking, don't wear batwing sleeves.
Yes, exactly. And when you've been helped out, know that potentially that person who's helped you out has gone through a mountain of crap somewhere down the line,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
So, you know what? It's just the price we pay for being human on this
planet. The circle of life.
The circle of crap.
Kumbaya, my
so,
Lord.
We're going to move on to our movie review.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
So, girlfriend, you saw a movie last night. What'd you see?
I saw Jason Bourne. And it's a kind of one of it's first of all, it didn't fit my Saturday night criteria, which is comedy not 90 minutes or under.
Right.
Preferably 88 and a half
right.
minutes. But I actually like this movie, and I think the main reason is because I had listened to this a couple of really good podcasts this week. Number one was the Dan Carlin one where he interviews when we're talking about James Burke. So they're talking about all this technology and stuff. And literally in the Jason Bourne movie, all this technology is used to the max.
Uh-huh.
And so it was really fun, you know, like...
he's like CCTV.
Yeah, they were saying like they could, you know, they're in their offices in Washington, D.C. and stuff. And Jason is in Greece someplace. And they somehow managed to get him. And then they use that CCTV, I don't know if it's a camera or a satellite, to look inside the apartment to actually see what's going on. And I went, oh my God, that is like,
is this possible?
And I think it is possible. Yeah. I really do.
It's probably all possible, but is it happening?
And it probably is.
Yeah.
I really do think so, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was all about that. And and that's kind of why I liked it. But Norm was bored by it. And I said, well, I can agree with you because, first of all, the movie was like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And there's probably about... I would say maybe six or seven really long action scenes.
Right.
There's one at the very beginning and, you know, and of course, at the very end, the festival, the sacred cows, you know. And each one of those action scenes is approximately 3 minutes too long.
Yeah.
You're like going, now I don't really care whether you live or die.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I don't care about you. Yeah.
I would have cared like 3 minutes ago, but you overstayed your welcome, you know. So I can see where he got bored. But I, just for the technology aspect of it and what's possible, I liked it a lot.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So on your Sherpa thing.
My Sherpa hats?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it, okay, I'm going to give it 3 out of 4.
Uh-huh.
But be prepared to, if you see it, that there are a lot of holes that go unanswered. in the movie.
So does the screenwriter do a good job filling those holes, or just it's just the way they move the story forward?
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to get it from point A from point B.
100%.
Let's put this line in. Yes. Just because maybe they'll fly.
And it's absolutely true, you know? Yeah. And like, so I'll say there's a lot of holes, but it's kind of fun at the very end. You go, God, that one never got answered. That hole never got it. Because you think that they're going to, answer them, and they don't, you know. And at the very end, the female character, which is very interesting because she's very slight, pretty young woman, and she's taking the place of Tommy Lee Jones. Okay, now that's just in itself is stupid.
Right.
Because nobody in the government, you know, everybody in the government looks like Tommy Lee Jones.
Right, they do.
And not this.
Hell, look at the, President-elect.
Yeah, look at the Trump cabinet. Yes. Yeah.
I keep saying president-elect because I keep wanting to remind myself he's a president. He's a president.
Not yet.
Okay, that's right. So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So she's this very, very pretty girl. And at the end, her higher boss goes, why are you going to be able to do his job? She goes, or better.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, well, hey,
spoiler alert.
He was old.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm young.
I'm young.
He understood policy, but I understood technology.
Get it.
And you're like, and I'm new school. He's old school. Like, okay. That was the whole message.
And then
the
I'm like, and then you're like, okay, young girl, I hope you die.
Like, I don't really care now.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
that's why I had the Sherpa hats pretty high, because you got to take it a little tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Yes. Isn't it just true, though, it's always about the youth versus the old?
Yeah.
I mean, always. It's like, that's how we keep progressing. Even though when you get old from being a young to an older person, mm-hmm. you realize you don't feel any different.
Mm-mm.
But you do see the world slightly different for a time being.
Yeah. And the young people feel like, I mean, you still feel like you have a right to be in the world. And,
yeah.
And I think the young people feel like, if you ain't made it now, just get out of my way.
Right.
You've taken up a spot that I could have.
Right.
Because I do believe that. I think people just feel like there's just not enough money. Or
whatever it is.
Whatever it is. It's just not enough, which is not true.
No, and we all need so much less than we really think we need.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
The sense of, I want to be a billionaire. Dude, you really can't spend billions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, and also, you don't have $1 billion. It's in the form of stocks and, try and cash out on that billion. And
exactly.
What are you going to do with that? Put it in there? Yeah.
Even if you went to the bank and you wrote a check out, they go,
they ain't
going to
give you $1 billion.
No, you can't come. Yeah.
We had that $1 billion, and we're lending it out five times over.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I saw, real quick, I had binged watched over about a month, Search Party, and on TBS, because I did feel like it would let me into the millennial viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be funny. There were episodes that were charming. That's not the right word. That is so not the right word. There was nothing charming about this show. There were episodes that I thought were, like, oh, this is kind of it was fascinating to me. Like, oh, okay, this is how they believe. They're all in New York, and right? And so they're in New York.
Why are we so fascinated about millennials?
Well, millennials, I don't know.
Because
I know millennials, and they're normal. But millennials in New York, maybe it's the mixture of New York plus millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like Girls, that TV show from HBO,
mm-hmm.
Way too hip for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you see one episode and you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. New top. And then you're going, none of you guys are charming or endearing.
No.
And you're all egotistical. And I just don't appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. I can't figure out the way they think.
No. There's got to be a point where you go, okay, I get it,
mm-hmm.
But in Search Party, I thought the concept was interesting because one of their college friends goes missing, and they're all out of college now, this group of friends, probably 20, let's just say they're 25 years old, and one goes missing, and they were friends in college, not friends as adults, so I'm like, I'm going to find her. The one girl goes, I'm going to find her. So it's a search for this friend, and she comes across all these different clues that really lead her to believe there's this huge conspiracy, And the reason why she wants to find her, because everybody assumes she's dead, but she literally has seen her. And on her journey, and being called a hero's journey, if you like, she meets all these different people, get all these clues. Some people are there to help her. Some people are there just to mess with her, you know, and mess with the storyline.
You're talking about the girl that is searching.
Searching for the girl who's lost. And so it's not about the girl who's lost. It's really about the girl
it's her hero's journey. Okay.
And, you know, we see her friends who, like, one has lied about having cancer. This is not it's not a big story plot, so I'm not going to worry about it. Spoiler alert. To be better on social media. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And then, but he was able to turn that into a win by writing a book about lying. You know, I mean, it was just, like, crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. One person's an actress, and she has money, too. And but neither one of them will lend money to a friend because that's not what people who have money do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just crazy. And then I'm watching the end of the last episode, and it was so disappointing because it ends up that they find the person. The reason why she was, I don't want to go there in case that, spoiler alert. So spoiler, turn it off now. Yeah. But she was missing for no real good reason, except she broke up with her boyfriend or something like that. But it caused so much havoc in everybody's life that I just felt, I wished you died. I wished you died a horrible death, because then it would have been worth the traumatic.
Or how many hours did you have to watch this?
It was they're basically 20-minute episodes, and there was 8 of them or 10 of them. So, I mean, 200 minutes.
Your life, girlfriend.
Yeah, and if it would have been a satisfying ending, I might have thought it was worthwhile.
You would have given it a pass.
I would have given it a pass, but the ending was so unsatisfying that it was, I almost felt, are they trying to be meta-modern or... Yeah,
you don't know anymore.
Like, I'm giving you an unsatisfying ending so that you go, oh, reflective.
So meta.
So, oh, you're right. This, you never know. Bad things can happen. You can go down these paths and bad things happen. And I guess the moral of her story is, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, bitch. Yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen to you.
You're we going know that one.
Yeah. So I guess her life mirrors my life a lot. And I give it one Sherpa.
Okay. If
before the ending, I would have given it 2 to 3. But the ending made it down to 1.
Oh, good. Good.
Okay, Ray. For so a little,
yeah, but I'm saying but that's good though that you were going to give it a 2 or 3, and then hey, no, you screwed me.
Yeah, if you're gonna want me to binge something and then give me an
ending like that, you don't deserve it.
I want a happy ending. Why don't people realize that?
So do a lot of people.
We all do. If I'm gonna invest the time,
go to Jerry's massage parlor for a happy ending.
I want a happy ending. Yeah, right. I guess that's not the. They should. You know what? Why don't they just come in and rate the endings?
Yeah,
like rate a movie, rate an ending. You know?
And why don't we go? Oh. Why don't we do a website like that or get an app?
Yeah.
Or we just rate the ending.
Rate an ending app. I like it. I don't know. I could get. You know, yeah. Maybe I would feasible. Crowdfund it.
Yeah. Go fund me.
Go fund
me. Go F you.
Go F you.
Go F me.
Please F me.
What's the other one? Crowd? Is it crowd fund me or?
I don't know.
To go fund me and something.
I think it's just go. There's something else too.
Like crowd something, isn't it?
Crowdsourcing is the whole concept.
Yeah. No. Okay. Even the one that because James Burke has got it one and
right. That was GoFundMe, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. You ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Sure.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Okay, so here we are. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have only about 13 minutes left for our show.
Okay, just talk fast, okay?
Because I want to get to pillar talk, but we always lay that to the end, and we never get to it. So that's fine, too. I'm okay with that.
The holidays.
So here we are at Elliot's Corner. We talk about what we can learn from our animals, or just animal stories, because we love animals. We love our animal, Elliot, hence Elliot's Corner.
I know. I gave him a full body massage last night.
How was that? Did you enjoy it?
He loved it. He got on the bed and he laid down next to me and he turned on his back with all four paws up in the air. And I was watching the ending of Jason Bourne. And so I started giving him a massage. And then I go, okay, I did his legs and his paws and I got his belly and he kind of turned it aside. I got his back and he got himself a full body massage last night.
Oh, nice.
And then at the very end, did he have a happy ending? He was snoring. I guess that's happy.
Happy ending.
He was like, hey, Norm, listen, the little puppy's snoring. He's like, I'm so good.
Yeah. I'm so relaxed. I feel so good. I love it. So just a couple of different animal stories this week. You wanted to talk about the YouTube video that you saw with the kangaroo.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was so awesome. And I just, it was just real brief, but I guess you looked it up and it was an actually longer one. But what I saw was there's this kangaroo, I guess they're in Australia or New Zealand or someplace. And the kangaroo is holding by one hand, or one little tiny short arm, a doggy.
Yeah, like in a headlock.
Yeah, like, man, I got this doggy. And the dog's like, ah.
Yeah, trying to get loose. Can't get, it's a big
then,
dog.
Yeah, and then there's a guy comes up. And you're like, let go of my dog to this kangaroo. And he goes up to him and he stands in like a boxing position. Yes. Like, I'm going to box you, a boxing kangaroo, you know. And so the kangaroo drops the doggy. The doggy runs away and is going to punch the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy punches him real quick on the snout. And then he kind of runs away, you know, but it was such an awesome video.
It was an awesome video. It was funny because when I first saw the video, I didn't see the stuff leading up to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't realize that this guy had let his dogs loose to chase an animal down. I don't know if he's chasing the kangaroo down or not, but I think these were hunting animals.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then I don't think they were hunting a kangaroo, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But then you see this kangaroo literally holding this dog in a headlock, and you're like, this is amazing looking. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's thinking about this. It feels like he's having real...
Yeah. What am I going to do with
thought
this?
Thought process. Yeah. You know, he's like, I got you. Nyeh, nyeh. And the guy just walks up and hits him, right? And they're not. And then he's stunned for a second and so forth. And we were
drops the doggy?
Yeah. We were debating, would that work with all animals? Like, if you're being attacked by an animal and you punched him in the face with a snout, would that work? Mm-hmm. And then Normano, your husband, my dad, brought up the idea that he heard a guy talk about that he was being chased by a bear. Or a bear was attacking him, and he was able to get one good punch in. Mm-hmm. The bear stepped back, stunned, and went away. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I heard someplace that grizzlies, you should not do that. Mm-hmm. They'll just take you down and eat you. But it played dead with grizzlies because they like to eat rotting flesh. So if they think you're dead, they'll come back a couple days later. And you'll be tenderized then.
Interesting. Now, I have seen on YouTube or something, I have seen... a person hit a shark in the snout.
Did it work?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not suggesting to put yourself in those situations.
Just to try it.
But if you happen to be, if you happen to find yourself in a situation with an animal.
And you can get a good punch in. And you got
try
their,
something.
Got their nose right there.
Yeah, try something. You're like, and
give
you
it
know
all
what,
you got.
Though? I can see that because when I've been hit in the nose.
Yeah.
I mean... The last thing you want to do is continue fighting. You're
well,
like,
when I was like in fourth grade, I had this girl. She must have liked me, but because every time I got near her or she got near me, she hit me in the nose, like open hand, but just like smash. And oh my God, I would just cry.
Like she liked you and
I think she liked me because it was she like thought it was cute or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
You know,
yeah.
I think so. I don't know, but oh my God, it was so painful, and it must have happened to me 100 times that year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then I got
and then you had
smart.
PTSD.
Then I got smart. I kept running away from her.
And you put the book up. Or like I hit her back once. You're like, how do you like that?
I like them apples.
I like them apples.
And exactly. My second quick animal story.
Yeah.
Was just I heard that there's this orangutan couple in like I don't know the Dayton, Ohio Zoo or whatever, and they're married. I mean. As much as an orangutan couple can be married.
Right. They're
and
partners.
And she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And that they've registered at Target.
For the baby?
Yeah.
I love
that. Well, they just registered as a couple, too. And they're saying that people are, you know, buying the stuff that they want. And the number one thing that they wanted was they love Adele music.
Aww.
And she wants to give birth during hearing.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Welcome to the other side. What, why'd the chicken
Hello.
Cross the road?
Yeah.
Hello.
What, to the it? Other side.
Yeah.
Hello from the other side. There you go. Mm-hmm. That's a great story.
Ba-doom.
Ba-doom. Well, you know what? So go to Google it. Google where that orangutan got that Target register. And
yeah, go and
get that.
Go fund them.
Go fund them. That's so sweet. Well, they only need about 100 people funding him. That's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
You know? So you ready for a little pillar talk?
Mm-hmm.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk.
How many minutes do we have, Julie?
6, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
For here on pillar talk. And here's why I want to talk about two things, because I really believe in the idea of threes, and I've heard two concepts this week. Twice or three times. So when I hear things in different places three times, I'm going, must be aware, you know? Mm-hmm. And one was, I was hearing this podcast. I think it was a Tim Ferriss podcast. It was an older one. And it was about this woman. She has one of the highest rated TED Talks. Oh, she was on Oprah. I think her name was something Brie Brown or something like that. And I don't know her name. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But she talked about guilt and shame and how we have an overabundance of it. And mm-hmm. guilt is when you do something bad and you feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Shame is when you feel you're bad. And
Norm was experiencing guilt.
But I think you can experience guilt and shame at the exact same time. Because you go, am I at a deep level bad by not, because I performed what?
Would it be called shilt?
Shilt, yeah. Oh, I feel so shilty.
Oh, you mean you feel guilt and shame?
Yeah. Or gamey. I feel so gamey. Because guilt and shame.
I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, hello, Jill. Hit me over the head with that.
But in her topic, she mentioned this idea of climbing the ladder of success.
Mm-hmm.
Like she doesn't believe in the word success anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's an interesting concept.
I am getting it more and more.
You just want to do the best you can.
Yeah.
I was listening to somebody and they said, in the 50s, you didn't have to plan for success.
Right.
It would just, you'd be plugged in, you'd automatically just achieve it.
Yeah.
There's enough work, enough good paying work for the situation.
And everything was not as, the resources weren't as small.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't global economy as it is now.
Right.
But you have to literally plan for success now.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to you. And if that means, you're saving 10% of your money, so investing it through the course of 30 to 40 years so that in 30 to 40 years you have a nice portfolio, that's part of it. You know, or if you have this career, everything has to be planned out. It just doesn't just fall in your lap.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And also, not only that, but you have to have like plan B, plan C.
Yes. I mean, the way life changes so fast, you may be on a track that will end before you realize it's going to end.
100%, Julie.
Yeah. And so she said, the last thing you want to do is climb the ladder and find out it goes to the wrong door.
Mm.
And I was reading Jack Canfield.
Oh, my God, that sounds like Tim Ferriss.
Oh, and Jack Canfield said the exact same thing. The last thing you want to do is climb a ladder and realize it's gone the same, to a different floor or a different rooftop, whatever the destination is. Like, I've been climbing this ladder and I hate it. Oh, this is where I landed? Oh, awful. And I think those are nice things to say, except a lot of times you think you're going someplace and when you're there, you go, this legitimately didn't turn out anything like I had anticipated turning out.
Mm-hmm.
We almost need to not take life so darn seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We can try. I mean, but I'm looking for myself because I heard this ladder talk again. Like, where are you trying to head, really, Julie? What really is your goal?
Yeah.
So I think in myself, am I heading up the wrong ladder?
Mm-hmm.
And is that preventing me from having success if you're heading up the wrong ladder?
That is so powerful.
There are 100 different ways to get what you want, sometimes, I mean, if you want a closer relationship with your spouse or with your boyfriend or whatever, or your kids, there are 100 different ways to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does require a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that you pick the right way, So I don't know. I heard that the ladder talk. I'm like, that's very interesting. I don't know much more to say about it, except that how do we evaluate? Are we on the right trajectory?
Mm-hmm.
Are we on the right ladder as we're climbing up this ladder, doing our steps to get to where we want to go?
Well,
but it ends up not being there.
To bring in the Tim Ferriss talk a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know we didn't talk about this at all, but I love this idea where Tim says, I don't really have that ladder.
Right.
He said, I am And this literally blew my mind because it has created a beautiful, you know, open door for me to think about. And I hadn't before. But he said, I really don't have long-term goals. I am value-driven. Mm-hmm. And I assume that because of my values, that if I'm watching, opportunities will arise for me based on what I value.
Yes.
And if I'm too busy climbing that rungs of the ladder to a goal that may not have been to the right roof or the right thing, I won't be happy.
Yes.
And this is just, I find this wisdom so profound. I can't even tell you.
Well, it's interesting to think of your life in smaller terms then. Like, he has 2-week experiments, he calls them, and then 6-month goals or projects. And so he sees his life in 6-month intervals. Mm-hmm. I think that's fascinating because you can sustain something for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And if you do the best you possibly could during that and get all your attention and your focus, mm-hmm. or, you know, he was talking about 2 to 4 hours a day, you know, mm-hmm. it's really a strong focus is what you need to move something forward. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. We don't, I mean, I think even if you go to work all day long, you realize, I'm not.
Not even for 4 hours.
Right. And so I thought that was interesting. And coming to the end of this year and thinking about New Year's resolutions mm-hmm. and goals and thinking about my way in my life in a different way, we did something last night or this morning that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
We said, what if we each gave each other a resolution for the new year, but it wouldn't be goal-oriented, more like activity-oriented.
Fun
activity, a fun illusion, you know, where I'm going to give you this and Christine, you will do this by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because you said you're going to go to a different country that you require a passport for at least 3 days.
Yes. And that was mine for you.
That would be an awesome thing to do because I've wanted to do that. I've been to Canada. Nope, but didn't need a passport that time, just a birth certificate. But what I have put traveling on the back burner so much the course of the last 20 years, 15 mm-hmm. years of my life mm-hmm. that, it, you know, what if I just said, hey, I got to do it because mom told me I got to do it.
You got to do it, girlfriend.
I gave you one. I gave dad one. Some of them are a little personal, you know, but
I told Norm, I said,
this was funny.
He has to be an extra in either a movie or a show filmed in Chicago.
I thought that was an awesome one. And these are things that can get done, you know, just like boom, done, next. And they're fun.
Yeah.
And so.
So a fun illusion.
Yeah. And I say this year, what if we each did something that was gave each other
That's fun illusions? That's the part because you would never have given yourself that one.
No, I wouldn't.
But because I know you.
Yes.
I could give you something that I thought would be fun for you.
And I gave one for Dad. Yeah.
That's why it needs to have another person give it to you. What was yours for Norm?
I wanted him. Oh, it was about you and him. He needed to serenade you on this one song.
Oh, that's right.
And
that
take
was so
you
great.
To a real movie.
That's right.
A real movie theater.
Yes, not the Saturday night.
Yeah, didn't have to be on a Saturday night. You could do a matinee because mm-hmm. you don't want to have the crowds. That would be like overstimulation. But to go and actually see a movie on a big screen would
that's
be kind
right.
of fun. I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm gotta do it.
Yeah, gotta do it. Yeah. So. And I had some Chicago stuff that you will go do.
That's right.
You'll see Melania. You'll go to Millennial Park. Mm-hmm. Go this one French thing. Now you think to yourself, well, these are not big ones. I know, but what happens is we want to do them, but over the course of the year, you mm-hmm. just put them in the back burner.
Right.
And these are your fun illusions.
Yes.
So
give them to somebody else.
Yeah, give them to somebody else. So think about this week. So I want to say, everyone, thank you very much for listening to our show. Go to ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Yeah, and the next time we talk, Julie, it will be Christmas 2016.
Yes, it will be. And we want to say, was the show great, girlfriend?
Well, I don't know, Julie. Maybe it was great.
Yes, it was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.